Welcome in 100.3 The Sound, Mark in the Morning. Happy President's Day. So we have the legal ID, and we do have mystery history later on this morning looking at the president. And so what I say is that the legal ID, and Andy, by the way, put this together, and he's going to be throwing out several presidents' voices. So, Andy, I say you pick one of the ones you're going to be doing, and let us open with the legal ID with that cat.
Wow. All right. The legal ID will be delivered by John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome John Fitzgerald Kennedy and the legal ID?
Era 100.3 The Sound is KSWD-FM and HD1, Los Angeles and Orange County.
Yeah.
And perhaps Chappaquiddick. Southern California's classic rock era, I Am a Jelly Donut.
Yeah.
Portends great things later on.
We're going to celebrate President's Day like none other. We do have mystery history, which will do exactly that. The facts. That's all we have. We have the facts. We have an announcement shortly after 7 o'clock, and this pertains to all of you in the event that you're not angry at cash. If you like money, this announcement is for you. Plus, it's about Oscar fun that we're going to be having, so prepare for that. We have a giveaway of AC/DC tickets today, and keep in mind, we're giving away these tickets even before they're on sale. We'll do that with Oscar trivia. I've got a miniature cool story for you, Andy's capsule, Gina's trending, and we're going to find out exactly who's working today. With our topical, history was made at the box office, and Gina has a review. A photograph gone viral, we lost a radio great, more Bruce Jenner news, and what not to do on a first date. All of this will be revealed. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Welcome back in, Mark in the Morning. I got a letter over the weekend I wanted to share with you guys. It says, paraphrasing the immortal line from Wayne Campbell of Wayne's World, quote, if you blow chunks and she bolts, it was never meant to be. If you hurl and she stays, it's destiny. Picture this. Summer 1969, a hot, humid August night in western New York at the county fair. Our, Steve and Donna's first date. Pure, open-hearted, innocent, awkward attraction, hand-holding, fun, excitement, etc. Food on the country fair variety. We had run out of ride tickets and cash, but this amazing young woman, outgoing and brassy, had a way of convincing people. So the incredible funhouse carny caved and granted our free pass because we had such a great ride the first time. At the end was a rapidly revolving barrel of fun, a diabolical centrifugal force of mayhem. Now, maybe we should not have shared that footlong hot dog minutes before, and maybe my predisposition for motion sickness should have not taken into account, but on we jumped. Slowly at first, then ever faster to where I took on a ghastly color. The carny was nowhere near to be seen. He had set us into motion and run off. Due to our close proximity and the immutable forces of physics, even though I tried to avert, as I turned my head, hurling commenced all down the back of my wonderful girlfriend, which I assumed would now be my ex. Carney boy returned. We hastily disembarked for the restrooms, all the while she, Donna, insisting, quote, don't feel bad. Don't worry. I'm fine. She didn't bolt, and we just celebrated our 43rd anniversary yesterday.
Aww.
If I may add to all the good comments regarding your return, I must say it is a fact that your passion absolutely shines through. Years ago, 1958 to 61 time frame, my mom used to turn the old kitchen radio to a local station which carried something called the Breakfast Club, not the John Hughes film, but a simple gathering of skillfully created on-air people to give the feeling of sitting with good friends at a local diner or in the family kitchen for pie and coffee. In my youthful innocence, it put me there with them, and it made my mom laugh. Aww. What I'm getting to is that you and your radio family strip away all that voodoo technology stuff, and you again put me right there, connected and feeling warm and happy inside, a part of the family. Thank you so much for possessing the courage and taking the leap back into your passion. I sometimes take ribbing for being the old guy at work, but I got to tell you, I have followed my passion, and I am blessed to feel young and vital every day. Carry on. Have a good day and a better tomorrow. Steve Robb from Eagle Rock Brewery.
Nice.
Isn't it?
That was fantastic, and what a turn of phrase he puts together.
Yeah, he makes puke sound poetic.
Really?
He writes a fine letter, don't he?
Sure does.
So when we come back, we're going to talk about Saturday Night Live special last night. I assume you guys saw some of it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, so we'll discuss. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Good day. Good to have you. Mark Thompson, Andy Chanley. It's President's Day. Gina Grad's in here. Danny's somewhere. Mikey's somewhere. Jackie's in there. And Jackie's going to be working her butt off today. We have an announcement, and we'll explain why Jackie's going to be put to the test.
Announcement? Wait, isn't the show a repeat?
No. We're live on President's Day. Live.
We're really here.
We should read something from the newspaper.
Yes.
This ain't no can show. We're actually sitting here and smelling each other's
and
breath.
And why are we doing this again?
Because we are more committed than the average bear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it. Now, before we get to Saturday Night Live, weekends for Valentine's. Does anybody have a nice Valentine's moment to share? Because I do.
Well, I had a lovely Valentine's Day, but it wasn't the one I expected.
Uh-oh.
I got up, and, you know, I'm not really a materialistic chick, but my boyfriend is having none of that. So I got this beautiful Tiffany necklace, and it really started things off on the right foot. I got him 3 shirts from Old Navy. And then I dragged him to 50 Shades of Grey because I didn't want to see that alone. Turns out I did sort of end up seeing that alone, and I'm happy to give you that review when you're ready. And we were going to go to the beach and have this very romantic day. And turns out his son, who's lovely and amazing, ended up spending the day with us, and we ended up cooking dinner and watching Goodfellas, just the three of us in a romantic evening.
Well, I'm reading between the lines. I hear you. I got you.
It was lovely, though.
Yeah. No, I got you. It just wasn't the lovely that you were thinking it was going to be.
No, it was a different kind of lovely, the Gina Grad story.
That's what you call your memoir?
That's my autobiography, yeah.
That's good.
Well, mine was shockingly great, actually, because we all know what I'm saying when I say that we have probably all been remiss in our personal lives because we've been so enamored by doing this program.
Right.
And it's a time taker. It is. And I have been remiss as a husband. So on Valentine's Day, it started at the beginning. I made breakfast for her. We went to the grocery store and I bought pretty much anything and everything that had a Valentine's color on it. Flowers included. Bring those home. And then we proceeded to clean the studio for 2 hours. But we were doing it together. I hear you. I got you. It's not really a Valentine's romantic thing. But at least we were together doing this. And at one point, she was on all fours vacuuming under the console. I'm behind her holding the flashlight so she can see where to vacuum.
Oh, that's
and she
hot.
Goes, "Are you looking at my butt?" And I said, "Yeah," which I was. We then started wine mid-afternoon. We played cards. Then we had a nice romantic dinner. And so the key to it is I think it was one of the best Valentines because we were together the entire day.
That's nice.
That's so great. Are you a couple that just generally gets turned on by spring cleaning, or this was just a fluke?
Look, a woman with a vacuum in her hand has got me.
That's the problem is, the issue is, that's the only thing that turns him on.
Right. Get Mark in that French maid costume and look out.
Now, Andy, I know I heard a little something about your household, but you, with a brand new baby, what was Valentine's for you?
We keep passing around illnesses, viruses, like they're candy. It's really, really awful. So now everybody's sick again. But it was very nice on, very nice. On Saturday morning, Friday night into Saturday morning, the overnight, let's see, the baby was fussy. So, Laura had to move over in the bed to give her some room. This, you know, baby's 5 weeks old, right? Yeah. So, laying there and a little congested, trying to sleep. So I'm edged over to, I've got like, you know, 18 inches of the bed. And then, as I realize that's how it's going to be, our four-year-old son comes down the hall sniffly from the other room. I'm like, okay, my real estate is gone here. So, you know what? I'm just going to go down the hall and I'll sleep on the couch and let them spread out and be comfortable and so forth. So I go and do that, and then and sleep awfully. My back is killing me. But they come out, and they surprise me with Valentine's. He had a handmade one that he made. He painted, and she had a card for me that was very, very wonderful and heartfelt. I had gotten flowers the night before. But you're right. It's hard to, when you're trying to put on a show, when you're having a baby, when you're doing all these things, to take stock of everything you have and be appreciative and show it. She's usually really great, though. I want to say that. She will send me, just you know, any day of the week, not Valentine's Day, she'll send lunch for me and make it in the morning, you know, and put a note on the door, don't forget your lunch in the refrigerator, and I'll go and get my lunch and I'll take it with me, and then at lunchtime I open it up and there's invariably a wonderful message, a card in there. Sometimes it hits the mark a little better than others. I have, Gina, can you read this? This is one of the cards, and I'm divulging very personal information here. This is one of the notes that she wrote me. Read this. read it out loud.
She has great penmanship.
Read it out loud.
I carry your heart with mine.
Isn't that nice?
Wow.
But if you look at it, doesn't it kind of look like it says, I carry your heart with Mike?
Yes, it sure does. It sure does. And it's on an old-timey note card.
Who's Mike? Yeah. That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
So this really, that started a whole fight. It was bad.
Wow.
Dude, I have to tell you that with my kids are all grown now, and I'm hoping for grandbabies, but when it first started with Matthew, when Matthew turned the age that he could go to school, everything was fine until he went to school.
Right.
Once they start school, they bring every germ.
Everything.
I crap you not. The first year that he started school, I had the stomach virus 8 times the first year. And then the next year, 6. You start to build up a tolerance to it, but the beginning when they first go to school, it is just, it's death.
Right, right. Well, and you know, he's still of the age where he's getting, you know, more and more immunizations and so forth, and I don't want to get started on that whole thing. But whenever you get an immunization, it lowers your immune system a little bit. Yeah. It's a real punch to it. You know, you're putting, you know, sometimes 3 diseases in their bloodstream at one time, and it's just it's a real kick in the truck nuts for you know for your immune system. So we just got another shot last week, and what happens? It's happened the last few times. Every time he gets a shot, he gets sick. The baby gets sick. We get sick, and it just keeps getting passed back and forth, and it's great.
I am so glad that I'm not you.
The Mark Thompson story.
Why?
It's just I've been there. I know what that is. I don't regret it, but it was death. It was absolute hell on earth, and I hated everybody.
And on top of it, you never sleep. You never get to rest. You never catch up.
And then you got to go to work and be funny.
Right.
Yeah. Danny, do you have anything to report at all?
Caught up on laundry?
For that says love.
For both of us. I fold her underwear. She folds my shirts.
Aww.
We did it together and had dinner with the neighbors. It was great. I could wear my sweats. And that's it.
You know, I will say in Danny's world, that's actually very Valentine's-ish.
Right.
Because Danny is the kind of guy that on, you know, his wife's birthday, he'll give her a washing machine.
Well, no.
But a very
nothing
nice washing machine.
Says love like the spin cycle.
Our birthdays are a week apart, so we celebrate it together.
Nice.
There's no point in surprising her.
So the washing machine is really for you, is what you're saying.
For both of us, since it's our, you know, we celebrate our birthday together, so, you
nice.
Know.
Jackie, anything from you?
It was just the regular lovey-dovey type of thing. I mean, cooked me filet mignon, had some baked potato. I mean, he did the works, made me breakfast. We saw Beatles cover band. I mean, to me, it was just perfect. So, I don't want to brag, but I had a great weekend.
Hey, listen, absolutely. I have, but notice how different they all were. And the worst was yours, Andy.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's just I've lived it.
Thank you. Yeah, and the great thing is, when I go home, there's more of that.
You know, Amy, my middle child, when she visits us in North Carolina, she pulls out this gigantic box of all of our family videos, and she watches them. And so one day, she's got one on. The kids were, Matt was probably 9, Amy was 6, Katie was 3. We're all in the kitchen. I'm sitting at the bar. Linda's making something to eat. And so we're all there. And I'm watching the video. And it was so loud. But you know, when you're in it, you don't notice it. You don't. It doesn't bother you because that's what you have to deal with. But it was so annoyingly loud, I don't even know how I stood it.
Your central nervous system is so pummeled into the ground.
Yes.
That you're desensitized to so many things that would ordinarily drive you completely nuts. It's really shocking. Well, you know what's the funny thing is I say all these things, and I mean them from the bottom of my heart. I'm so tired. But also, I've reminded myself to look around and take stock and how lucky I am. When you've got a California king bed, and there are up to 5 souls in it at one time, including a cat.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's pretty good times. It's filthy times, but it's pretty good times.
You're making me feel a little bit better because I tell you, this last 5 minutes, my biological clock has come to a dead halt.
Look, it sounds like a horror story, but we all of us that are parents, we've had it. We wouldn't take anything for it. I'm so glad that mine are over, as I'm hearing Andy's. But in the long run, the number one thing in my life are those stupid kids. I look forward to seeing them. Now, I will be honest. When we do get together for dinner, you know, like Linda needs a week with them. I need about 10 minutes. And I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I've seen you. I've heard you talk. You look okay. I'm going to go back to the hotel.
Small doses. Yeah. The reason we had 2 is, we really wanted to make sure that we had somebody around to change our diapers in our old age. Mm. So,
yes.
You know, 1, you're rolling the dice.
Quid pro quo. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have another one. You have an alternate to be able
to. We have to take a break, but I will say this. We had 2. We had the boy and the girl, and we were done. And we... Tequila was involved, and her name is Katie. I'll just be honest about it. It's absolutely true. And listen, you guys know Katie. I wouldn't take her. I wouldn't take anything in the world for her. But once you've had the 3rd one, you're outnumbered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's serious business. That is serious. So I don't know what you and Lara are thinking about doing, but if you're thinking.
Oh, no, we're finished with all. You know, the crazy thing is, I know we got to take a break, but the crazy thing is I distinctly remember thinking when we had, right when we were getting ready to have our first, I even said out loud, you know, maybe if we had twins, because there are twins running my family, maybe if we had twins, that might be nice. And you kind of get everything done at one time and you have two wonderful kids.
Like
and she looked at me like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I came to realize how much work 1 is.
Yeah.
And I was completely off my rocker. I didn't want 2 at one time.
At some point, we're going to get Lara on the phone because she did I won't even divulge it, but it has to do with this last birth. So we'll get into that because it's crazy nuts. I don't even know what's wrong with her.
Yeah.
But we will divulge all of that. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we got Andy's capsule. We are giving away AC/DC tickets this morning at 7:40. It'll be Oscar themed. If you know your Oscar movies, you got a shot at winning those. And right after 7, we do have an announcement that involves all of you, especially if you like cold, hard cash. This is Mark in the Morning. This is 100.3 The Sound. Zombies. 100.3 The Sound. Who I love. Lead singer of the Zombies. Rod Argent. Correct?
Yes.
Hold your hand up. Who went on as a solo career with These Shenanigans.
Yeah.
I love this song. But I digress.
Is there anything special you'd like to do for your last show?
Really?
Anything, Dennis. You name it.
Well, you know, I've always wanted to say live from New York. It's Saturday night.
Live from New York. It's Saturday night. Live from New York.
Okay, so I sat and I watched about half of it, and I'm really not the person to review this because I have not watched a lot of Saturday Night Live in the past, say, 20 years. The Justin Timberlake thing, Junk in a Box, is one of the funniest things I've ever heard or seen in my life. At the beginning, there were so many major stars, it was almost overload. It was just, I mean, like, God, look at that.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the reminiscing, showing some of the stuff. I wasn't really enamored by some of the new comedy sketches that they did, like the one with Taylor Swift. I don't know. I thought it was fine. I got a couple of kicks. I enjoyed the Weekend Update. You guys?
Well, you know, the first thing I noticed that I thought was so great, when they panned to the audience, everyone was in a ball gown and tuxedo. So you felt like you were witnessing something special. I thought that was kind of cool. But at first I was like, oh, no, this isn't just one long clip show, is it? Didn't you kind of get that feeling at first that it was just clips for the next 4 hours?
I kind of felt like they were going to be going back and forth, and I guess they were heavy on clips, light on live.
Yeah, but at the very least, they started strong with the Jeopardy sketch, which I don't know anyone who that's not their favorite.
Yes, that's always hysterical. And Will Ferrell, look, I know the characters. My favorite is always Burt Reynolds. That guy.
Norm MacDonald,
yeah.
But Will Ferrell is the glue for that whole thing, the faces and how... disgruntled he becomes with the stupidity.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Will Ferrell, who's one of the best comedians of our time, plays the best straight man on that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny how his straight man isn't straight.
I mean,
it's his straight man is the lead comic in any given
like
scene. It's
when
so
he
good.
Plays James Lipton to Alec Baldwin's Charles Nelson Reilly.
What is your favorite color? It's so good. The opening, the cavalcade of stars that came out at the very beginning. Steve Martin doing that. Mm-hmm. I did like two musicians named Paul?
And yeah.
You got Paul McCartney and Paul Simon doing I've Just Seen a Face, and they do the first verse of that, and he's like, everybody cheers and goes wild. He's like, I think that's a resounding no.
I knew he should have played the boxer.
Like the North Pole out there.
It's really starting to snow.
Snow comes to me.
Why you hit me with a large snowball?
With ice and snow.
It's snowing.
Snow picnic out there.
I have to wear snowshoes to bed.
28 inches of snow.
Snow crisis.
There is no way this winter is ever going to end.
The winter of 2015 has been wicked for Boston, and it's just not letting up. That's a precursor for that presidential comedy we got coming up. And by the way, I'm going to get to do my Jimmy Carter. I'm telling you, you're going to think he is in the frickin' room.
Yeah, we're
going
to wish he's in the room.
All right, so Boston. Boston got another 16.5 inches yesterday, bringing the total for the month of February to 58.5 inches of snow.
Lord, can I say something that's only going to make those people want to jump off the nearest cliff?
Yes.
You know why I didn't go to the beach for more than an hour this weekend?
Why?
Too hot.
That's a great problem to have, isn't it?
Isn't it?
I can remember February's where I would be driving home from work with my top down, and it was 2 degrees in New York.
Yep.
Did I feel guilty? Not a bit.
It's just beyond this door.
What is?
My playroom.
Well, we've got history, people. 50 Shades of Grey spanked the competition at the box office. The erotic flick became the highest grossing President's Day film and the highest grossing Valentine's Day weekend opening with $81.7 million. It was just $2 million behind Passion of the Christ for the biggest February debut ever. And the other debut was Kingsman. The Secret Service had a strong opening with 35.6. So, Gina.
Yeah.
I got a feeling I know where this is going. Gina saw 50 Shades of Grey. Your thoughts, please.
50 Shades of Dull.
Oh.
Seriously, it was two scenes going back and forth for over 2 hours. The two scenes were an emotionally damaged rich guy trying to get a coy, shy little virgin to sign a BDSM contract with him, and then a preview of what it's like to sign a BDSM contract with him for 2 hours. No payoff. Super boring. It was a cross between me trying to watch the movie and me begging my boyfriend not to leave so he could go to Amoeba because he was so bored. He finally left 5 minutes before the movie ended, and he missed nothing. It was really, really bad.
Here's what I think. I think the people that are going to see this movie, for the most part, have seen it. Mm. And so I can see this movie falling off to like number 4 next weekend.
I think you're right. I think people just went for the curiosity factor. And when you realize that they have all the chemistry of a block of ice, you tell your friends to pass.
I think the issue is, okay, it's a Valentine's Day weekend.
Yeah.
Yep.
What do dates do when they go out? And you invariably go out on Valentine's Day if you're a young couple. So you're going to go see a movie.
Sure.
And you have a choice on Valentine's Day. Should we see a sniper movie?
Yes! Yes!
Or a love movie?
See the sniper movie!
Well, I did go see a movie. I went to see Kevin Costner because we have a shot at Kevin this week. It's unconfirmed, but we think maybe Thursday. So I wanted to go see one of his movies, and the new one's not out yet, so I went to see Black or White.
Oh, yeah.
While it is slow in places, and it's overly long at 2 hours, and it didn't need to be, it's one of his finest performances, emotionally speaking, that I've ever seen. He was fantastic, and Kevin is a very passionate man about story. And so while I won't say that it's a great movie and you need to go see it, if you're a Kevin Costner fan, it's some of his best work I've ever witnessed, so yeah. I don't hate that 2 hours I spent.
You know the thing about Kevin Costner movies? I can't stop watching them. Okay, well, The Bodyguard accepted. I can stop watching that at any moment. but like, Tin Cup and No Way Out and some of those movies, if they're on, if I'm flipping through and I hit on one of those, I've got to watch the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've got to watch the rest of it.
You know, when you take a look at the movie Field of Dreams, and when you really take a look at this film, here's a movie about a farmer who's hearing voices, and based on what he hears, he plows his cornfield and builds a baseball field so ghosts will come. That movie could have been so ridiculous, but because of the way that it was handled by the director and by Kevin, it's a classic.
Beautiful movie.
Yeah, cult, absolute cult classic. So Kevin is a sweetheart of a guy, so if we get him, and he's busy promoting two films, but if we get him, then I'll introduce you to one of the greatest people you'll ever be around. Momentarily, Andy's going to dip into the capsule, plus we have an announcement shortly after 7. This is Mark in the Morning. We are live on President's Day, and we're back with all of yous right after this. It is 100.3 The Sound. So, if you want to give us a phone call, tell us, ask us. It's 888-696-1003. We are all about the Oscars this week. This is an exciting time in this city, unlike any other city, because one of the great awards ceremonies takes place this coming weekend. But before we get into that, let's talk about the Razzies. The Razzies are going to be handed out Saturday night. That is a 180 of the Academy Awards. These are the nominations for the worst performances of the year. See if you agree. If anybody has seen any of these, then shout out. Worst picture, Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas.
Yeah, I
read an
one.
Article. I read an article that said it's one of the worst movies of all time.
That makes me want to see it.
Yeah, I really want to talk to him. I would love for him to come on this program this week and defend his movie.
That would be great. Something tells me he has somewhere near 0% sense of humor.
I couldn't agree more. Worst picture again, Left Behind, that's Nicolas Cage, The Legend of Hercules, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Transformers 4. Worst actor, Nicolas Cage for Left Behind, Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas, Kellan Lutz, The Legend of Hercules, Seth MacFarlane, A Million Ways to Die in the West,
aww,
Adam Sandler, Blended. Adam Sandler, I think, is the most nominated, most winning Razzie actor in the history of the Razzies.
Wow. It sounds like Kirk Cameron could sweep, though, this year.
Worst actress, Drew Barrymore, Blended, Cameron Diaz, The Other Woman, and Sex Tape.
Oh, double down.
Yeah. Melissa McCarthy, Tammy, Charlize Theron, A Million Ways to Die in the West, Gia Weiss, The Legend of Hercules.
Is that movie, did you see A Million Ways to Die in the West?
No, I was rooting for it, though.
Yeah.
But I didn't check it out.
I didn't see it either. Was it that bad?
It was a star-studded cast of comedians, but people just weren't into it.
It looked like it was trying to be Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, maybe.
From the trailers, and I guess it didn't hit the mark.
The trailer made me want to see it. I just never got around to it, and now I see that it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Worst Supporting Actress, Cameron Diaz for Annie.
Oh,
Do you remake that movie?
Yeah.
What was the purpose of that?
All right, let's go back.
Yeah.
Because Cameron Diaz is nominated twice for Worst Actress and once for Worst Supporting Actress.
Three different movies.
And can I tell you that, look, I love acting. I turned my head on Cameron Diaz when she was in that football movie with Al Pacino. She was awful.
Oh, Any Given Sunday?
Yes, she was awful in that, and so I think now the world is seeing what I saw years ago.
You turned your now I got to turn my back on you. Well, you got Paulie
just turned
his back on you.
Yeah.
Megan Fox for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Nicola Peltz Transformers, Bridget Redenauer, Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas, Susan Sarandon for Tammy, and Worst Supporting Actor, Mel Gibson Expendables 3, Kelsey Grammer Expendables 3, Legends of Oz, and Think Like a Man 2. And Transformers, Shaquille O'Neal for Blended, Kiefer Sutherland for Pompeii, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, Expendables 3, which reminds me, we will be speaking with Arnold Schwarzenegger this week.
What?
The real Arnold Schwarzenegger?
On this program?
This program right here, the real Arnold Schwarzenegger. We'll be speaking with him.
By the way, you did forget one category because it's my favorite. It's Worst Duo, and one of the nominees is Kirk Cameron and his ego. So he's going to sweep this year.
Yeah, it does seem like we're not going to be speaking with Kurt. What do you say we open up Andy's time classic rock time capsule?
Why do you even try?
I don't. It's time to open Andy's classic rock time capsule.
It's open. Classic rock time capsule for Monday, February 16th, 2015. And today in 1972... Shirley Watts. She isn't nice, even though she's in a town spelled N-I-C-E. It's Nice, France, and the wife of Rolling Stones drummer Charlie Watts being questioned by French customs officials. How does she comport herself? Well, she slaps a French customs officer in the face and unleashes a tirade of obscene vitriol. I bet that marriage doesn't last. What's that? I'm being told they've been married 43 years since that day for a total of 50 and one half years of wedded bliss. I did not see that coming.
1, 2, 3, 4.
All right, tax season. Are you in full compliance with the IRS? 1984, on this day, the government says Jerry Lee Lewis is not, and he surrenders to officials on tax evasion charges. Oh, man, I bet they throw the book at him, and what's that? I'm being told he's later acquitted of all charges. Sorry. So over 2 so far. Let's see. 1992 on this day, Mick Jagger denied a visa into Japan on this date. Why? It's because of his conviction on drug charges in 1969 that this happens. See, let that just be a lesson to you kids. Stay in school and don't do drugs, because Mick Jagger's devil may care attitude in the 60s, it caught up with him in the 90s. What's that? I'm being told he was granted a visa and allowed in, and all is well with that.
Good informant today.
Not doing so well. Well, finally, today in 1990, Ike Turner is sentenced to 4 years in prison on charges of possessing and transporting cocaine. But hey, I've learned my lesson. I get it. You got to tell me he's given a suspended sentence and let go on his own recognizance. What's that? He goes to prison. Okay. He goes straight to prison.
Remind me later to tell my Ike story.
It can't be good, whatever it is. And while in prison, he misses his induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I did not see that coming. Did you see this coming, though? A couple Rolling Stones incidents. That earns them a spot here on the Classic Rock Time Capsule. You are listening to Mark in the Morning on 100.3 The Sound, Southern California's Classic Rock.
Nice. All right, so this hour, we're celebrating President's Day because we're working. We're live today, people. This is not a repeat. Mark of the Morning is here. Andy Chandler, Gina Grandet, we're all here knocking down some serious morning entertainment on President's Day, and we're going to celebrate President's Day with mystery history. And this comes from the talented pen of Andy Chandler. Andy is going to be busting out several presidential voices. I get to dust off my Jimmy Carter. Can't wait. We're going to be giving away some AC/DC tickets. Keep in mind, these tickets are being given away prior to when they're on sale. Nobody else has these. We're the only, I don't even know how we got it. This is illegal, what we're doing. Giving away these tickets, and we're going to do it with Oscar trivia. We're going to give you the plot line. You tell us the movie. We'll line you up. Last guy standing or girl gets the tickets to see AC/DC. I wanted to quickly tell this Ike Turner story because you mentioned him in the capsule.
Right.
When I was doing the Mark and Ben program, we used to do on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we would do the day before Thanksgiving Day parade. Mm-hmm. And we would do it down at the Coliseum, just stupid. And our Grand Marshal was a different celebrity each year. And one year, our celebrity was Ike Turner. So wow. After the parade, which, by the way, he rode it on a horse, which was hysterical. And so one year after the parade was done and the broadcast was finished, Ike comes up to me and says, "Can I see you privately?" So we walked over behind the broadcast booth. Where we did the show from, and he asked to borrow $10,000.
And let me guess, your answer ended with the phrase, "and the horse you rode in on."
The things that I've had to endure. All right, for our special announcement.
Look, Bullwinkle, a message in a bottle.
Fan mail from some flounder?
No, this is what I really call a message.
All right. It's as simple as this. We want to celebrate Oscar Week. And we want to celebrate that by giving you cold, hard cash. And I'll tell you how much in a minute. Here's what we want to do. How cool would it be to hear from people that are nominated for an Academy Award this year? And we're talking about anybody and everybody. We're going to spend the week having you, the Home and Car listener, call us. If you have the phone number of a person who is nominated for an Oscar this year, and we get them on the air, you will be in the running for $1,000 cash.
$1,000 cash.
$1,000 cash. No questions asked.
And what if the person that I get is nominated for a second seamstress on a costume?
Want to talk to all of them?
Anybody?
Because look. The bottom line is some of these people are great, and we're going to meet some great personalities. They're going to be funny. They're going to be great. Now, obviously, if you're really going for the cash,
Clint Eastwood or Oprah Winfrey on the line.
Yes, or look, if you call in here with Michael Keaton and we get Michael on the air, that's going to be hard to beat. I'm just being honest. And we don't care how you got the number. Maybe you did some cabinetry work in the guy's house. We don't care how you got the number. And if you want us to protect your person, your individuality, your name, we will not divulge. We're not going to judge you for the way you got these phone numbers.
Or so, maybe you're Ike Turner and you're friends with somebody who's got nominated, and you could really use that $1,000.
Right.
So here's the other good news. If you call up with the number of an Oscar nominee and we get them on the air, you're obviously in the running for the $1,000, but you automatically win concert tickets.
If you are the best one of the day, or just if you call in with anybody?
Yeah, if you call in and we're get
able to
that
talk
nominee,
to someone, you get concert tickets no matter
that's
what.
Correct. And
that's
you're
awesome.
In the running for the $1,000. So we'll do it every day this week. And then on Friday, between 8:30 and 9, we're all going to huddle up and we're going to decide who was the biggest name, the most entertaining, whatever it is. And that one person goes away with $1,000. Now, the drama of this is that we may not get anybody. That's what I love. This is a win-win. Even if we suck, we win. I love
you're
it.
You're such a good life coach.
That's our usual motto, isn't it?
So, once again, Jackie will be standing by if you have the phone number of an Oscar nominee this year. And we don't care if it's seamstress, CG, wardrobe, or Michael Keaton, or whoever. We don't care. We want to talk to all of them. It's your chance to win concert tickets and $1,000 cash. There's some verbiage on the legals on markinthemorning.com. You'll probably have to go check that out because we had a bunch of writers in here yesterday that spent 6 hours writing a bunch of garbage. But we have to do that. So there it is. Jackie is standing by, 888-696-1003. It's going to be tough today because it's President's Day and not a lot of folks are working. But this is all week long. $1,000 cash can be yours from Mark in the Morning. This is 100.3 The Sound. 100.3 The Sound. This is funny. I said I want to talk to Kirk Cameron last break.
Mm-hmm.
This is Danny. Just now, this is Danny. He reaches out. Hello. My name is Daniel Mizrahi, producer of the new Mark in the Morning show on 100.3 The Sound. Mark would like to invite Kirk Cameron as a guest on the show or perhaps have him call in our studio anytime this week. Please let us know if this is doable. They responded right away. Hi, Daniel. Kirk is not available for interviews currently as he is filming another movie.
He's in hiding.
Hey, at least they got back, right?
Yeah, that's quick.
Well, let's find out what's trending. Here is Gina.
You got it. Michele Ferrero, Italy's richest man and the owner of the Nutella Empire, died on Saturday at the age of 89. And Louis Jordan, who played Afghan Prince Kamal Khan in Octopussy, died this morning at the age of 93. Both left a footprint in pop culture and both will be missed. Here's what's trending in sports. Cleveland Cavaliers forward LeBron James surpassed Michael Jordan and moved into second place on the NBA's all-time all-star scoring list Sunday night in New York when he scored his 263rd career point. And we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the weather. Massachusetts just can't get a break. They're getting dumped on up there, and they are also getting hit with what's being called thunder snow. Here's some audio of a weatherman, Jim Cantore, going absolutely cuckoo for thunder pops.
Oh, yes! Yes! Yes, we got it, baby! We got it! We got it! Woo! Woo! We got it! Yes! Listen to that! Listen to that! Oh, baby!
Yep. Snow and thunder will make you go crazy. This goes on for 2 minutes, by the way. There are six.
Oh!
Yep, there's
again,
number two.
Again, that's a twofer! That's a twofer, baby! Yes!
Wasn't Thunder Snow a James Bond movie?
I thought it was an AC/DC song.
Oh, okay.
Twofer, baby.
A twofer.
Oh, my goodness.
Double rainbow.
Yes. Yes. Again. That's a three. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. Pitorak.
There it is. Three, baby, in 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Cameraman's helping out.
This guy doesn't suffer from lack of passion.
No.
And there's another one. That's number. You got to be kidding me.
This is what 58 inches of snow will do to you in a month.
Wow.
Never
you can have your $500 million jackpot in Powerball or whatever the heck it was, but I'll take this, baby. Four lightning strikes, four episodes of thunder snow. I could hear thunder, so we had another one. So we actually had five strikes, five thunder. I mean, this is just a total change. Literally within an hour, was that another one? Was that? Oh my good, dude! That's number six. You gotta be kidding me.
He traded half a billion dollars for thunder snow.
You don't know his passion.
We're just sitting in the middle of it.
Wow.
Yeah, thunder snow, everybody.
I wish I cared that much about anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's happening on Mark in the Morning.
Well, as I said, it's President's Day, and today, I mean, we're not even bringing in the big guns. Today, we're going to keep all of the impressions right here inside the house. Myself and Andy Chanley are going to handle this, and you're going to swear these presidents are in the room.
It's uncanny.
It's crazy uncanny. It's illegal, I think. So we're going to celebrate President's Day with Mystery History. That's in about 15 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. All right, so there's no need to really belabor the point, but Cindy Crawford has done something really, really cool. I'm not even sure if she's the one that leaked it, but we're all looking at a photograph of Cindy Crawford. If you've not seen it, Cindy is almost 50. I think she's in her late 40s.
48.
And there is a photograph of her in what looks to be bra and panties with a coat on, and she's obviously modeling something. But what's great about it is that there's no photoshopping here. She looks exactly as she looks. There's a little bit of cellulite. There's a little bit of wrinkled. There's a little bit of this, a little bit. Good on her, you know, because I'm more concerned about these young girls that are looking at these perfect photographs of these women thinking that they can mirror that and become
right.
them.
Mm-hmm.
And they go on these ridiculous diets where they eat cotton just so they feel full.
Right.
And so really, really good on Cindy Crawford for doing this or
and
being a part of it.
And she looks good.
Well, and I can just give you a little backstory on this. This picture was taken in 2013 from Marie Claire, Mexico, and they're saying that Cindy Crawford herself did not have anything to do with this leak, and she's not commenting. So she might actually be a little embarrassed and not feeling totally comfortable. But I think in general, it's gotten so much positive response from the media that I hope she ends up seeing it as a good thing.
Yeah, Cindy, you know, if you are feeling weird about it, don't. You look awesome, and you look like a real human being.
Gorgeous.
So that's killer. Going to be celebrating President's Day when we come back. It is Mystery History. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. We are live today. We're going to celebrate President's Day here in a moment because we're the only morning show in Los Angeles that's working today.
And why is that again?
Because we work for this dump. They insisted.
All right, great.
So... we're going to get into this. Now, I got to tell you, Andy put this together as we're going to celebrate President's Day. Now here's
a shifting all warning. The blame off himself.
No. If this stinks to high heaven,
Oh, no. Oh, listen, we crash and burn together, my brother.
Oh, thanks.
Know that. Now, there's a possibility that the wheel could come off because Andy is doing like five voices in this, and he's running the music and the sound effects. So, crashing and burning is good. It's like I've always said, if it goes well, then it's funny. If the wheel comes off, it's hysterical. So here we go as we celebrate, Mark in the Morning, as we celebrate President's Day 2015.
Think you know presidential history? Listen to this.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
But in truth, you only know presidential sound bites, and sound bites can be deceiving when taken out of context. Welcome to Mystery History, where we divine the whole truth surrounding the history you think you know. On this special President's Day edition of Mystery History, our historians have examined hours of presidential speeches to give us a better understanding of the brief audio quotations we've heard so many times. Take, for example, President Jimmy Carter's famous malaise speech and this well-known quote.
Good morning. This is President Jimmy Carter. It's good to be with you. The erosion of our confidence in the future is threatening to destroy the social and political fabric of America.
Ah, but there's so much more to the malaise speech than just one soundbite. Listen further.
In the room.
President Carter illustrates this meaning more clearly.
Good morning again. This is former President Jimmy Carter. It's good to be with you. Rosalind, come rub my feet while I do this. The erosion of our confidence in the future is threatening to destroy the social and political fabric of America. I picture it more as taffeta, perhaps even a gingham fabric. No, I don't know. I suppose it could be a crinoline or a rayon or maybe even a brocade. But it is certainly not chintz or Chanel or gabardine. Does anybody know just what the hell I'm talking about?
I do.
It's fascinating.
Lots of fabrics, yeah.
It's fascinating, isn't it? But presidential sound bites have been taken out of context for decades, as evidenced by this universally recognized snippet from President John F. Kennedy's speech to the United Nations in 1961. Mankind must put an end to war.
Ah.
Or war will put an end to mankind. but this snippet doesn't accurately quote the beloved JFK, does it? In truth, he goes on to say, or war will put an end to mankind. And not just nuclear war, but other wars. Like cake wars, cupcake wars, storage wars, and televised wars of every stripe era. It's astounding, but there's so much more. Once thought to have preceded all recorded audio history, our historians have uncovered this rare recording of President Abraham Lincoln imparting some of his homespun wisdom.
In my experience, you can fool all the people some of the time. Some of the people all the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time.
But this quotation has been taken out of context so long. Listen a little further and you'll hear.
You cannot fool all the people all the time. Except those yin-yangs from Indiana. Complete imbeciles. And Ohio. They're not exactly brainiacs from the planet Smartron there, am I right? Nincompoops. Can I get a what-what?
What-what?
Amazing. This recording has been preserved for posterity. And shoulder to shoulder with President Lincoln on Mount Rushmore is President Theodore Roosevelt. He, too, has fallen victim to incomplete quotation in his day.
It's crazy.
Everyone recalls his summation of his administration's policy on gunboat diplomacy.
I don't.
I have always been fond of the West African proverb, speak softly and carry a big stick. You will go far.
Yet this is not all President Roosevelt touched on in those musings.
No.
Allow him to opine just a bit longer and we hear...
I have always been fond of the West African proverb, speak softly and carry a big stick. You will go far. And apropos of nothing, you know what name I've never cared for? Kanye. It sounds douchebaggy to me. But I digress. Bully.
And that does it for an episode of Mystery History, where we take a bite out of history.
They call him the busiest man in show business, that Andy Chanley. Running music, sound effects, six voices.
You know.
Is it a good kind of tired?
No, not really.
We're the only morning show doing presidential comedy. The only one.
And there may be a reason for that. Now I see why everybody else is in reruns this morning.
I stand by it. Okay. We want you to call if you want to win AC/DC tickets before they even go on sale, which, by the way, they go on sale this morning at 10. We're going to give you the plot line of an Oscar movie, and you tell us what the movie is. If you get it right, you're still in the running. If you miss it, you're gone. We'll do it in about 5 minutes, so call right now if you want to win. Call Jackie at 888-696-1003. We're giving away AC/DC tickets before they're available. I think it's illegal. Back after this, it's Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Yes. We are now going to give away tickets to see AC/DC. They go on sale this morning at 10. We're doing it with Oscar trivia. Basically, we give you the plot line, and based on the plot line, you tell us the name of the movie. If you miss it, you go away. If you answer it correctly, you stay in contention. Danny, because I'm having to deal with the question or the plot line, Danny is going to be engaging the phones and handling that. Danny, how do you feel?
I'm a little nervous, sweating, but I'll make it through, I think.
And we have to move quickly. We have to put them on hold and get to the next caller. If we don't, that means the game slows down, and that means that you suck.
Word.
Let's go to Russell. Russell, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Whoops. All right, here we go. A Romeo and Juliet story aboard the world's largest luxury liner.
Titanic.
That is correct. We move to Alma. Alma,
hey.
How you doing? All right. An epic tale of a 1940s New York mafia family and their struggle to protect their empire.
The Godfather.
That is correct. We move to Mark. Mark, a college graduate home for the summer has an affair with the wife of his father's business partner.
No clue.
Really?
I'm out.
Okay, sorry, Mark. The answer was The Graduate. In fact, I should let you guys answer that. Yeah. Sorry, my bad.
No fault in that, sir.
Rich,
yes.
Two imprisoned men bond over a number of years, finding solace and eventual redemption through acts of common decency.
Shawshank Redemption.
That is correct. We move to Angel. By the way, Is Danny also ringing the bell?
Think he is. He passed that over to me.
Yeah, he can't. He's incapable.
An account of the complex and difficult relationship between a mother and daughter as they face life's challenges over three decades.
I guess I'm going to have to say, I'm going to go with the gas, Little Woman.
Andy or Gina?
Mommy Dearest?
I'm going to say Postcards from the Edge, but I don't think that's right.
I think that one's tough. Angel, sorry. It is Terms of Endearment.
Oh, yeah. Chick flick, man. Mm. The original chick flick.
Down to Julie. Upon admittance to a mental institution, a brash rebel rallies the patients to take on the oppressive head nurse.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
That is correct. We're back up to Russell. A precocious private high school student whose life revolves around his school competes with its most famous and successful alumnus for the affection of a first grade teacher.
Mrs. Robinson.
Anybody?
Rushmore.
It is Rushmore. I would not have known that.
My favorite movies of all time.
I haven't seen it. Do I need to bother?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
But okay. The funny thing is, the way you described the plot also made it sound like it could have been Billy Madison.
All right. So here's where we are. We're down to three. We got Alma, Rich, and Julie. Last one standing gets tickets to see AC/DC. Pretty sure it's illegal. All right, Alma, you're on the board. A 15-year story about the formation of America's space program concentrating on the original Mercury astronauts.
Oh.
Need your answer.
Wait a minute. Oh, my God, I have it. Wait a minute. I can't remember the damn name. I see the picture. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Anybody?
The right stuff.
That is correct. Alma is gone. We're down to Rich and Julie. Rich and Julie, Rich, you're up.
Okay.
A press agent, hungry to get ahead, is pushed by a ruthless columnist to do cruel and evil things and is eventually caught in the web of lies that he has created.
Okay. All the President's Men?
That is anybody?
Mm.
It's one of my favorite films of all time, Sweet Smell of Success, Burt Lancaster and Tony Curtis. Now, Danny already hung up. So here was my question to the room. Okay, so he missed, and I guess for the rules I said, he's out. What I should have done is when it got down to two, I should have made both of them play until one of them missed.
Right. Oh, yeah, lightning round.
And also, you asked questions about movies from the last four decades.
And then jumped.
And then throw in one from
the turn of the last century.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, I read them in the order they came. Julie, congratulations. You are going to see AC/DC.
Guess what? I'm off today. I'm a kindergarten teacher. This is bitchin'.
Wait, let's go back.
The week she can actually say that.
Here's what I loved. I'm a kindergarten teacher. This is bitchin'.
Right.
Julie, where do you live?
Lake Elsinore.
Nice. Married with kids?
Yes.
How many kids you got?
Two kids. One's married.
Oh, wow.
One's married, and she's a high school teacher now. Just started.
Wow.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
My son is in college.
You sound 30.
Yeah, you really do.
Yes. The five-year-old's keeping me young.
Nice.
All that clean living.
Yes.
Nice.
I'm getting ready to go work out right now.
Wow.
Well, so do you like being a kindergarten teacher? Do you enjoy it?
I love it. Absolutely love it.
And
very rewarding job.
How long you been married?
34 years.
Do you like him?
Wow.
I love him. He's my best friend.
See, yeah, you can't joke around with that because apparently they have a solid relationship. It sounds like they communicate. And I agree. My wife is my best friend. And so that's good, solid stuff there. Are you an AC/DC fan, by the way?
Yes.
Well, you're going to go to Dodger State. You're going to go to Dodger Stadium and see the boys rock the dump.
Oh, my gosh. Great.
Well, Julie, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling, and enjoy the show.
Thank you, and thank you for being back on the radio. I'm so honored to have talked to you, Mark.
Well, wow. You're very nice. I was going to get rude with you, but I can't now.
But listen, thank you. Thank you very much for being a part of the new adventure we're all trying to launch ourselves on.
I'm so happy you're back.
Nice of you, Julie. Thank you.
You're welcome.
When we come back, it's On This Day in History. Plus, we're going to knock out some trending with Gina. Remain where you are. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. 100.3 The Sound. Before we get into On This Day in History, let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina.
Well, there's more coming now. The two former models, Linda Brown and Lisa Lottie Lublin, now join dozens of women who have accused the disgraced comedian Bill Cosby of luring them to hotel rooms before allegedly drugging and assaulting them. By the way, Gloria Allred says she has more women in the stable, so she's just going to keep bringing these women forward until Bill decides to, I don't know, play ball. Now, this is something that I'm very curious if you guys know yet. Alice Cooper, Johnny Depp, and Aerosmith guitarist Joe Perry are forming a super group called the Hollywood Vampires.
That's a great name.
Yep. Depp, Cooper, and Perry only have one gig on the books right now, but it is a big one. It's to play the Rock in Rio Festival in Brazil. Now, for extra points, you two music lovers, do either of you know where the moniker Hollywood Vampires came from?
Hollywood Vampires. No.
It's a
Mel Brooks
story.
Movie, Dead and Loving It?
You got it!
You're kidding.
Wow.
No, I'm just kidding. No, actually, it was the name that Alice Cooper gave his group of friends, his rocker buddies like Keith Moon, Ringo Starr, and Mickey Dolenz. That's what they used to call themselves in the 70s when they'd traipse around Hollywood Boulevard all night.
Wow.
And in sports news, the Washington Capitals eked out a win over the Ducks at the Honda Center this weekend. Alex Ovechkin. Oh, did I do that right? Ovechkin. His two goals and two assists were the secret ingredient that made winners out of the Capitals 5-3. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending on Mark in the Morning.
Nice. Good job.
Ovechkin.
And now.
Ovechkin.
History. That happened, and we all let it happen.
It was on this day, back in 1923... Archaeologist Howard Carter opened up the 3,000-year-old tomb of Egyptian pharaoh King Tut.
People stand in line to see the boy King Tut. How to get so funky?
Funky Tut.
This you do the monkey.
Born in Arizona, moved to Babylonia, King Tut.
Happy birthday to John McEnroe. He's 56.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious. That ball was on the line. Chalk flew up. It was clearly in. How can you possibly call that out? Well, he's walking over. Everyone knows it's in this whole stadium. And you call it out?
I'm going to award a point against you, Mr. McEnroe.
It was on this day in 1914, the very first airplane flight between Los Angeles and San Francisco took place. And this is my absolute favorite. Happy birthday to Lisa Loring. She's 57 today. You can guess who she is.
She was Wednesday?
She was Wednesday on television's The Addams Family. After her television career was done, she then got involved in the porn industry.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't realize that until this morning. And then, you know, when you click on information and then you click images, whoa, Wednesday.
Only Wednesday.
The Addams Family.
A man and woman in California brought PDA to a whole new level when they started having sex outside a dress shop in a strip mall. The happy couple, who had apparently just met, simply began rolling around on the ground right outside the window, even though there were minors in the store. For about 15 minutes, they were fooling around with their clothes on. Then the guy stripped to his skivvies, the woman hiked up her skirt, and they started doing it. all the while a customer in the store shot video on her cell phone. Security for the strip mall never showed up, so witnesses and amateur videographer Christy Peterson called the cops. Now get this, the woman got a citation. The dude is in jail.
Wow.
Why not both?
I don't know. This is in San Diego, a San Diego mall?
It didn't say. A California. California strip mall.
Wow.
Yeah, I just, to me, they both should go to jail, so I don't kind of get it.
I have an alibi. I was.
And to continue, there's nothing like enjoying a cold Minnesota night with a steamy soak inside an outdoor hot tub. But that's why one homeowner had one installed in her backyard. But she might want to go in a different direction after what she recently found. She looked outside and called cops when she saw two strangers enjoying her jacuzzi while they had sex in it. When cops arrived, the couple was still going at it. They were ordered out and arrested. 52-year-old Christy Sheldon, 22-year-old Lucas Arnson.
Yeah, wow.
That's a May-December hot tub. I love it.
All right, we lost us a radio icon over the weekend.
Unless my clock is right, it's Sock It To Me time.
Radio legend Gary Owens, who passed away this past Thursday, found his greatest fame on television as the zany announcer on Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In from 67 to 73. Along with Dan Rowan and Dick Martin, Gary and actress Ruth Buzzi were the only cast members to appear in every episode of the history-making series.
Goldie! When you were in school, did you have a tough time with questions?
No, but the answers were murder.
Hey, Goldie! His great-grandfather was a centenarian.
I hope he lives to be 100!
And here's Gary Owens on what made Laugh-In so unique.
We were more offbeat, so you might have Goldie Hawn come in and gargle for 2 minutes and stand on her head. Anything could happen on the show. And that was the beauty of it all. We might do, in 1 minute, 4 different sketches. We'd have 50 million viewers every Monday night, which is phenomenal.
Did you guys ever meet him?
I never did, but the favorite thing that he ever did was on Ren and Stimpy, Powdered Toast Man. Disguised as Pastor Toastman. Oh, my gosh. It was so good.
One of my buddies, Swampy, he is the creator of Phineas and Ferb.
Uh-huh.
I've done, like, 3 episodes of that, and I'm typecast. I was radio DJ every single time.
They just keep putting you in that box.
They do. I can't. No matter how hard I try to bust out, I just can't.
Oh.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance, that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while.
All right, see what you think. Don McLean will auction the original handwritten lyrics for American Pie. The singer-songwriter tells Rolling Stone, quote, I'm going to be 70 this year. I have 2 kids and a wife, and none of them seem to have the mercantile instinct. I want to get the best deal that I can for them. It's time. Christie's Auction House will conduct the sale April 7th, estimates the value at $1.5 million. McLean, who has lived long in rural Maine, rediscovered the manuscript about a decade ago when he was asked about donating his papers to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which has yet to induct him. He says he went and found the pages while going through a big box upstairs where I always used to put my papers when I was done with an album. American Pie may only be the tip of the memorabilia iceberg. He says he plans to rid myself of a lot of stuff. In a year or two, I'm going to have a big Christie's auction with guitars, clothes, boots, saddles, silvers, and watches. He says, I collect a lot of stuff. It's time to let other people have it.
I like his quote when, people throughout the years after that song came out, American Pie, asking him, coming up to him on the street, what's the song about? What does this mean? What does that mean? Asking him about every little detail. Finally, years later, somebody come up and said, what does American Pie mean? And he said, it means I never have to work again.
Mark, now, what kind of money would you drop on some memorabilia of his?
I have quite a bit. I don't want to say quite a bit. I have some key items. But $1 million?
Mm. Or $1.5 million?
You know, if you got it, God love you. But I don't float there.
Right.
There's no piece of memorabilia that I can see spending $1 million on.
Yeah.
Now, with Don McLean, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but I'm a fan of Don McLean's, and he took the old Roy Orbison song, Crying, and he slowed it way down. So I'm going to share a little bit of this for those of you that have not heard it. Roy Orbison's version is absolutely gorgeous, but a little fast for me. Check out what Don does with this. Don McLean, my friend, my good friend Don McLean. I lied, I don't know him.
I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while. But when I saw you last night, you held my hand so tight. When you stopped to say hello, and though you wished me well, you couldn't tell that I'd been crying over you.
I was going to stay with it till the orchestra comes in.
Left me standing all alone, alone and crying, 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 crying. It's hard to understand.
So it has a huge crescendo thing at the end. It's one of my favorite pieces of music from Don McLean.
It sounds so cinematic when it's slowed down. It has that beautiful 3/4 waltz rhythm, and you can really hear it.
It's nice. I'm reminded of a couple of years ago when I was doing album sides at night, right? I was doing the evening, and we did it at 8 o'clock, I think, when Rita Wild does it now at 11. And I was off for a week, and one night over the holidays, I scheduled American Pie to play. Someone sent me an email saying, "Hey, Andy, it's great you get the week off, but why do you have to punish us?"
Aww.
But darling, what can I do? Or you don't love me, and I'll always be.
Get it, Don. When we come back, we're going to reiterate the announcement we shared with you, 7 o'clock hour. It's cash, hard, cold cash. And if you're not mad at money, it's a way that you can put some of that cash in your pocket. And guess who is a grandfather? All revealed. This is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Later on this morning, I'm going to share just a quick little mini cool stories in music. I'll explain when I get into it. But I was reminded of something yesterday when my wife and I went to breakfast, and it's one of those little quirks that I have, and we all have. We all have those little bitty things that bothers only us, and it's just odd enough to make it weird if I bring it up, but I'm going to because I frankly like weird. So here it is. I have breakfast, and this only matters, by the way, when I'm having fruit. Because at breakfast, I normally will have some form of egg and then some fruit with cottage cheese. So after I've eaten my breakfast of egg, potato, whatever it is, I then save my fruit for the last. Mm-hmm. I cannot stand to eat my fruit with the same fork that has egg on it. So I have to go get a second fork for fruit.
Can't you just lick the fork?
Calm down. No. That would make sense. No, I need a completely clean fork for this.
To recap, when you eat egg,
yep,
you feel it necessary to leave a yellow protein coating on the tines of the fork, rendering it useless to you for the
dessert portion.
I need my fruit fork to be perfectly clean.
Wow.
I didn't say I need this to make sense.
This is the first time since I've met you that you sound like a total diva.
Yeah. Yeah, I realize it's odd, but it is what it is. Now, as I say, it doesn't really move over into other things except dessert. I've got to, if I eat my meal with a fork and I'm going to have dessert, I must have a fresh fork for dessert.
Huh. So it has less to do with the egg and more to do with the savory versus sweet portion of the meal.
I have no idea what it has to do with, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that moment of psycho that I have.
Yeah.
Are you saying me? You guys have none of this?
I don't have that.
I mean, I think a lot of people have this one. If I see a fork that is turned over onto a plate, I will lose my mind.
Wow.
Because that means that there is a chance it will make a squeaky noise and my blood will run cold.
Now,
but doesn't everybody have that? No?
See, I think maybe I eat so quickly that I don't have a chance for any of this to seep in. No, that's...
Really? But it has the potential to sound like nails on a chalkboard.
Here's something I don't care for. If I have a large plate, if I have pancakes or a waffle and I have syrup on that, I don't want anything else on the plate because I don't want my egg or my sausage or bacon. I don't want it having syrup.
I'm sorry. This is insanity because when you have pancakes or waffle, have you not had eggs that have been sitting in syrup? It is so good.
Oh.
You're missing out.
Gross.
You're missing out.
No.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Now,
no, that's like ketchup and eggs.
No, that is delicious.
No, I can't do it.
Now, while we're on this, I cannot stand if there is water in the sink and I'm cleaning plates for me to have to stick my hand in that water and have wet food bump into it. Just saying it made my spine crawl. Yeah.
That's so. Can I give a non-food related one so nobody throws up?
Please.
Now, and this is not an invitation for either of you, by the way. I cannot stand when people either give me a back rub or a back scratch through clothing. If I am touched back and forth over material, it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
You know what's great? Is parlaying things into their proper place. I remember a couple weeks ago, the first day we're on the air in here, and it's Gina's first time, running this brand new board, right, this mixing board, and B, starting off the 530 Club, if there were such a thing.
Right.
And I come in here, and I'm getting ready for it. And right as she's getting ready to go in the air, I just give her a little quick back rub, like, it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic. So I can only imagine the heebie-jeebies.
Absolutely ruined the 530 Club.
Or maybe I knew that.
Yeah, maybe
well,
you did.
Then before we go to break, let me tell you something that your own Rita Wilde has. She has a fetish with her hairbrush. She has to constantly, constantly brush her hair.
Really?
The idea that her hair would go 5 minutes without being brushed drives her nuts.
Huh. Fascinating.
Good things to make a note of.
Yeah.
When you run into her, just say, how's your hair? Because I guarantee you, anytime you see her, she's no more than 3 feet from her hairbrush.
She's going to hate April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I share these things about Rita because I've never liked her. I really just distrust her, and I've never cared for her, and she knows this. And that's why I feel free enough to share these things.
Too bad that she's sleeping in and she doesn't hear any of this vitriol.
My hatred for Rita Wild. We'll conduct business. Stand by. Gina's Trending will come your way momentarily. Remain where you are. It is Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Steelers Wheel, stuck in the middle with you, Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. Now, one of the things that I've been doing for the past 2 years is living in the podcast world, and I have a podcast that is called Cool Stories and Music, and it's been a gigantic hit, because what I basically do is I take artists or bands or albums, and along with the music, I tell you the story behind what you don't know. And it's been such a hit that we've taken it down, and we're going to go syndicated, and the Sound is going to play it on Sunday nights once we get that done. But I'm going to just do one because of we just played Steelers Wheel. I've got a little tidbit, and I know that I mentioned this the other day, so don't bust me because I remember that I said it.
Go ahead, Grandpa.
But I'm gonna tell you a little mini cool story about Stuck in the Middle with you, but I have to reintroduce you to Paul Revere and the Raiders. The Raiders' lead singer was none other than Mark Lindsay.
Girl, you thought you found the answer on that magic carpet ride last night. But when you wake up in the morning, the world still gets you uptight. Well, there's nothing better you ain't tried to fill the emptiness inside. When you come back down, girl, still ain't feeling right. Don't it seem like hits just keep getting harder to find? And all your hits ain't bringing you peace of mind. Before you find out it's too late, girl, you better get straight. No, but not with kicks.
Now, Mark Lindsay's career came to an end with the Raiders, and he moved into the solo world with this hit record. He wrote it, he sang it, no Raiders were on it.
She must belong to San Francisco, she must have lost her way. Post in a poster of Poncho and Cisco, one California day. She says she believes in Robin Hood and brotherhood and colors of green and gray. And all you can do is laugh at her, doesn't anybody know how to pray?
So Mark Lindsay's solo career came to a close, couldn't make any money, but he still needed a job because he, like everybody else in the 60s, got screwed by their record company, so he had to go to work. Mark Lindsay took a job as an AR guy for United Artists Records. On his first day on the job, the executives came to Mark and they said, "We've just signed this guy. He just stepped out of the studio. We want you to know, take a listen to it and see if there's anything on there for you." Mark Lindsay took it home for the weekend, listened to the entire record, and he came back and he said, "There are two monster hits on this record." The artist that they were talking about was Jerry Rafferty, the former lead singer for Steelers Wheel. Listen and see if you can tell.
Clear.
Now, the other hit was, of course, right down the line. And Mark Lindsay, when his job dried up at United Artists, he still needed to work. So he began singing jingles for radio. He wrote and recorded this in 1976 for a bicentennial beer.
As you travel down life's highway, you hear a lot of people saying, "Do things my way."
They don't like the way you set your sails. Don't you listen to what they're saying, 'cause it's just another game they're playing. Don't be afraid to blaze another trail. Come on and write your own words and show your own colors. Come on, America, sing your own song. You're one of a kind, so step out from the others. It's people just.
Can you imagine driving around in your car listening to that commercial and going, where have I heard that voice before?
What beer?
I don't know. It was a bicentennial, so I don't know. It didn't say.
But I got to say, man, beer jingles used to be great.
Yeah.
It used to be great. Like Hams from the land of sky blue water.
Oh, yeah.
And
head for the mountains of bush.
Let it be low and brow. You could get a woman to go home with you with it singing that. Let it be low and brow. Here's to good times. Tonight is kind of special.
Wow.
And little did I ever believe that I would actually tear up at Christmas time to a Budweiser Clydesdale horse commercial.
Oh, right? Yes.
Hey, those that was kind of a cool story about music.
That's exactly what it was, Andy. So anyway, I am about to venture into that world of syndication. I don't know a lot about it, but the show has proven to be a hit. Fans love it.
People love to hear stories. They love to hear a thread that carries them through a narrative that involves music and creative adventures. People love that stuff.
Well, you know, when I was a kid growing up listening to the great Casey Kasem, who I would argue is one of the greatest broadcasters in history.
Sure.
We obviously would get the top 40 hits and we would get, little things. But my favorite part was when Casey would stop down and tell us a story about the artist that we couldn't possibly know. That was my and that's really what Cool Stories is. It's just an hour and a half, 2 hour version of that.
People love hearing those stories. Casey Kasem did it well for decades. But then, VH1 came along with Behind the Music. And Behind the Music started off with the Rolling Stones, Behind the Music. And, the Beatles, Behind the Music. And ended up with Stryper, Behind the Music. And people still watched it because you can't turn away from that narrative. It's fun.
Because at some point they're going to do a picture of the band having a great time, and then they're going to do the windshield spider crack over it, and then it all went wrong.
Yeah.
All right, we got Gina's Trending just around the corner, and we will share our announcement from this morning. Stay where you are. This is Mark in the Morning. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound. We're going to get to some presidential trivia with Gina. But you may start to notice the Mark's Back billboards are popping up around the city, which is cool. And you can win if you feel like it. If you see one, pull your car over, take a picture, and tweet it with hashtag Mark's Back. Hashtag Mark's Back. If you do that by this coming Friday, we're going to put you in a drawing for tickets to see The Who at the Honda Center September 16th. One tweet per Twitterer. That's
easy for you to say.
That's hashtag Mark's Back. All right. So we've got some presidential trivia. Gina looked this up. And Danny, are you going to roll presidential music from back there?
You got it.
Okay. Here we go. And we're competing. You have to shout your name, right?
Yep. That's how you buzz in.
All right.
All right, here we go. Question one. Where did John Quincy Adams reportedly enjoy daily skinny dipping? I'm going to give you... Oh, okay. Yes, Mark.
He enjoyed that at...
I was going to give you multiple choice, but I'd like to hear your answer.
Yeah, my answer is the fountain in front of Wendy's in Torrance.
That is incorrect, sir. Mm-hmm. The answer is the Potomac River.
I'll say the Potomac River.
Yes, Andy!
Wow. That's ice cold.
All right, number two. Who is the only sitting president to appear on Saturday Night Live and deliver... Mark, yes.
Barack Obama.
That is incorrect.
Crap.
And you know what? I almost expected more from you because I'm not sure who was alive. No, I'm kidding.
Do I get a chance to...
Andy, for the steal.
I'm going to say it was George W. Bush.
That's a stupid answer.
That is a stupid answer. Danny, anything?
Clinton?
God, you guys. Gerald Ford.
Really?
Gerald Ford.
Oh, right.
Out of all presidents who I don't want to see on Saturday Night Live, it's him.
Yeah. With Chevy Chase, right? When he was doing his
I don't do follow-up questions.
All right, fine.
Number three, the president doesn't pay rent to live in the White House, but what does he pay for? And I will give you multiple choice. Utilities, gas, groceries, vacation, transportation.
Then Mark.
Mark.
Got to be vacation transportation.
You know, that's what I would have said, too, but no, you're wrong. Anybody else for the steal? Yes.
What was the first choice?
Utilities, gas, or groceries.
I'll say gas because it's weird.
Danny, would you like to pick from the last two answers?
Got to be groceries.
All right.
Wait. He has to pay for his own groceries in the White House?
He does indeed. Food bills go back to the president.
Huh.
Number four, the president doesn't pay.
Wait.
Yes.
You're saying that the president pays for his own food in the White House?
Yes.
It makes sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
Why? If he has a high taste in cuisine, why not?
Yeah. What if he just ate Hot Pockets, it wouldn't be a big deal, but exactly. They don't do that.
But guys, imagine now, you're the president.
But if it's a state dinner. If it's a state dinner, then that's on the country's
dime. I think they mean their own family pantry.
All right.
Well, imagine now. You're the president. You're living in the White House. Imagine 24/7 there is a fully staffed kitchen that has to make you anything you want when you want it.
Mm.
I would be the size of 8 cows. Good Lord, that would be great.
Oh, God. Yeah, but nobody, I asked a lot of people that just to see if anyone would get it right. Not one person guessed that it was groceries.
Mm.
All right, next question. One of his most famous sayings was, speak softly and carry...
Andy.
You're going to want to have me finish this.
Okay.
Okay. Speak softly and carry...
Nope. He's
all
already
right.
chimed
Andy,
in.
Yes,
you have to give
answer?
An answer, and then you're disqualified if you don't get it.
Theodore Roosevelt.
That is wrong. That had nothing to do
Fine.
With the question I was going to ask.
And you are disqualified.
Groceries.
You are out of the game.
It's groceries.
You suck at this game.
All right. Between Danny and Mark, what did Teddy Roosevelt reportedly carry with him in the White House?
Mark.
Yes.
Skittles.
Danny, would you like to wager a guess?
A rifle?
Yes, all Danny.
Right.
Wow.
Mark, this game brings out the worst in you.
And the last question, just to be in the spirit of President's Day, I don't know what that means, but should we let Andy back in the game?
Yes, of
okay.
course.
Last question, what did President Harry Truman get up at 5 a.m. every morning to do?
Mark.
Yes.
This is well known. I read a book recently that reminded me of this very cool fun fact. He would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning every single morning to rub his feet with sandpaper.
I'm going to say that's not right.
Andy or Danny?
He walked his dog.
Danny.
He got his workout in before Mark in the morning.
You're all losers, in my eyes. The answer is practice piano.
Why can't you do that at 9 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, he's an early riser. I believe that kind of by default makes Danny Mizrahi the winner.
Because he got the rifle thing right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, kind of.
He did it.
You didn't get it right for... If that's what you're thinking.
So am I the only one that noticed that Andy's a little pissy on the game?
Yeah, he does like to know stuff and doesn't like to not know stuff.
Shut up.
It's taking a turn.
Yeah.
Now
we all know a little more about President's Day.
Oh, good stuff. All right, so, Gina, you've already trended, haven't you?
No, I have not. I'm happy to do it.
Nice. Well, we have to come back because we're a little tardy.
Very good.
Thanks to Andy and Danny that we're yapping
you know what?
I have
had just about enough out of you.
Have you?
Working on a holiday brings out the worst in you.
Hey, Andy, I love you.
Oh.
He doesn't mean it.
I do mean it. Say it to me breathy, too.
I love you.
Oh. He's better than 50 Shades of Grey.
Rick Astley. Which Rick I will say, honestly, it's not that I have it in my iPod because I don't, but when it's on, I don't turn Rick Astley off.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, I turn him off. If I could find a way to turn this off right now.
He turns me on.
And Danny.
And by the way, this is why we don't work on holidays.
Right. It's absolutely true. All right, we'll return momentarily. You remain where you are. This is Mark in the Morning. This is 100.3 The Sound.
Hey, Gina.
Yes.
What's the title of this song?
Dire Maker.
Mark in the Morning, just to take you behind the scenes, I can share with you the interesting, rich, deep conversation that goes on. In this last break, Andy and Gina were discussing the two old men that sit in the balcony at the Muppets. That's what
Why
they were
do
doing.
We always come here? I guess we'll never know.
Scintillating talk backstage.
Like it's kind of torture to have to watch the show.
Waldorf and Statler.
Look, I love the two old guys. They're hysterical, but I didn't even know that they had actual names.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy good. All right, now, people. In fact, let me establish with some music, shall I? Let's go here. Love it. We are playing a game. Somebody out there listening to us speak this moment will be $1,000 richer on Friday. And here's how you do it. If you have in your Rolodex the phone number of a person who is nominated this year for an Academy Award, we want to hear from you. It's as simple as this. You call up, you give us the phone number of this person who is nominated for an Academy Award, and Jackie will call them. If they agree to go on the air, you immediately at that moment win concert tickets. And since we got them on the air, you are in contention for the $1,000, which will be awarded on Friday. Go ahead.
A couple of things here. Number one, so this could be any category, but they have to be nominated this year. So it could be the lowliest categories, the lowliest technical Academy Award, and they can still win the concert tickets for it. At the end of the week, it's going to be the weightiest star, the biggest marquee
name. With the highest premium.
Right.
And
who decides that? You're the arbiter of that, right?
We all are. We're going to huddle up after we have heard. Because, look, here's the thing. Obviously, if you've got Michael Keaton's phone number and we get Michael on the air, that's hard to beat.
It is hard to beat.
You'd have to get
Oprah Winfrey, who's up for a movie, the Selma movie, as a producer, Clint Eastwood, who's the American Sniper. You'd have to really go pretty high to get above Michael Keaton.
And here's the thing: we don't know who we're going to get at this point. We have no idea, but we may talk with a seamstress who's nominated, and she may be hysterical. And we may love that, and that could be the winner. So there is no nominee that is too small for this game.
Now, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. If Michael Keaton is driving around town right now on the 110 through Torrance, as he often does.
Right.
And he calls in himself.
Right.
What happens? Can he give the $1,000 to charity and short-circuit the entire thing?
He can do anything he wants. If Michael Keaton calls this program, he can keep the money. He can take it to his charity.
He can set it on fire.
That right there is called cutting out the middleman. If you are nominated for an Academy Award, feel free to call yourself, and we will pay you the $1,000 if you win.
If you haven't won in the previous 30 days.
Or you're not related to anyone at the station. Yeah.
Now, let me read the verbiage. By the way, this has a name. It's called, I'll just read the commercial. Let me get some music. At Mark in the Morning, we want to talk to an Oscar nominee, so we're paying dollars for digits. Maybe you do Bradley Cooper's dry cleaning, or you've been buddies with Michael Keaton since Beetlejuice. So if you can get us the personal phone number of an Oscar-nominated actor or director, and we can persuade them to talk live on the air with Mark in the Morning, you win concert tickets. Whoever we get the best guest by this Friday morning will also win $1,000. Call us at 888-696-1003 or email Danny at thesoundla.com. We want to talk to some movie stars, and we're just not the red carpet types. So it's dollars for digits from Mark in the Morning on 100.3 The Sound.
Nice.
I did a great job
with
that,
didn't
I?
You really did.
I was in the middle of it realizing I'm smoking this.
Yeah, you were really luxuriating in it. It was good. And by the way, if you have done the dry cleaning for Bradley Cooper, for example,
right.
you'll probably never do it again.
Oh, by the way, we will protect your anonymity. If you don't want the star to know that it's you, we won't tell them your name. Or we'll give them a fake name. But we will help you. We don't care how you got it. We're not judging you.
There's a witness protection plan for this?
Yeah. All right, before we get out of here, let's go to Cody. Cody is calling from Santa Monica. He's my baseball player buddy. Cody, what's up?
How's it going? I just love your contest so much. I'm sorry. I was giggling because not only are you selling out a friend and possibly an entire friendship,
mm-hmm.
but
right.
it's not even for $1,000. It's for a chance to win $1,000.
Funny because it's true.
We've got a
yeah,
budget.
It is true.
Oh,
the key is just having fun with it. Cody, what are you doing?
I just got to Arizona for spring training, and it is a lovely day here in Phoenix. I mean, I'm hoping it's a timeshare because I'd love to get in on this.
All right, now here's the deal. Cody is you're here. He's with the Padres in Arizona, and so you, I guess, Cody, it's not everybody, but you have to be invited to come because you're not with the Padres yet, but you're going to have spring training with them, and that's by invitation, right?
Well, I'm a member of the Padre organization. I got drafted by them 7 years ago, and last year my contract. I go to spring training every year with them, and then they divvy you out to a minor league team, but you're still under contract with San Diego. But I'm here for big league camp to play
now,
with the big league team.
They say, the critics say, that if you were in the American League, you would already be playing as a designated hitter, yet you're in the National League. Your thoughts on that comment?
It's an interesting comment.
Thank you, Mr. Marshawn Lynch.
Guys, I can tell you that Cody Decker, this guy, I have sat in the stands and watched it. He can hit a baseball further than I've ever witnessed. When he played for UCLA, he knocked it out, and there was a parking lot right behind left field. It cleared the parking lot and the trees. No one ever saw that ball again.
Well, sounds like Johnny Dangerously.
Here's the fun thing. This story, I mean, it's true. That did happen. This story always gets a little more incredible every time Mark tells it. It always started with he hit a home run that was like 35 feet from the wall. It was a bomb. Now it's turned into he hit it into Sandusky County.
Yeah.
It was outrageous. He hit it somewhere towards South America.
It went through a tree and then through a fence and then it went through a car. And then
it somehow cured cancer.
Hey, Cody, so what Mark just said a minute ago, I'm assuming that the smart people who work on your behalf are not oblivious to that notion. So your contract is done this year, and if you don't find yourself starting with the Padres, then does that mean that you're thinking about switching to the other league?
I cannot wait for this season, and sure. Listen, my loyalty is easily purchased. I grew up a Dodgers fan. Now I'm the biggest Padre fan in the world, and I hate the Dodgers. So, and the Padres barely pay me, so my loyalty is easily purchased.
Your loyalty can be bought.
Cody, do me a favor. Keep us posted. Let us know progress being made. How long does camp last? How much practice do you do before you play your first game?
In the season?
No, a spring training game.
Spring training game. We'll get about 2 weeks in before the spring training games start.
Okay, well, it's great because baseball's here. Love watching some baseball. The best to you.
Can I say one thing really quick?
Yes, of course.
I mentioned you before. Tonight is the night that my small role on State of Affairs airs for the season finale.
Oh, nice. All right, now we need to know who to look for. What is your part?
I got the coveted role of Security Guard 1.
Nice. And do you have a line?
I have a couple of lines.
All right, let's have one of them.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Could you wake up? This is a mall. You can't sleep here. People shop here. They're families. Thank you.
Oh, you smoked it.
Dude, I crushed it. You talk about wait a second. You know my number, right?
Yeah.
Watch out for that Academy Award nomination, Mark. You might have a chance at $1,000, maybe.
Well, okay, what time, what channel?
It's on NBC, and I think it's at 8.
Okay. Everybody watch for Cody, and then we will review tomorrow.
State of Affairs is the show.
I hope you're as good as you say, because we are going to review and critique you.
Mark, here's the thing. I'm always better than what I say.
That's a good safety lesson for all of us to learn. Cody, the best to you, and good luck with camp.
I love all of you guys, especially the Talons.
I like this guy. Thanks, Cody. Good luck.
There is more Mark in the Morning to come. Remain where you are. This is 100.3 The Sound. Mark in the Morning, 100.3 The Sound, wrapping things up today. Tomorrow, Katie, my daughter, Chick on the Street, she is out and about. We are trying to get people to change the dial on their radios, and Katie is going to help do that. Plus, we continue dialing for digits. If you have the phone number of a current Oscar nominee, we want you to give us that phone number. If we get that celebrity on the air, you win concert tickets. And if it was the best celebrity of the week, you could win $1,000. Danny, what is your email?
Great. Danny at thesoundla.com. That's D-A-N-N-Y at thesoundla.com.
He said that begrudgingly, by the way.
Yeah. You could pick up the tune on it.
Yeah.
So you can email Danny with that information, or you can call us live, 888-696-1003.
Can I add one thing? You may lose the friendship of the Oscar nominee by doing this. It's possible, but you'll gain our friendship.
And possibly $1,000.
And $1,000.
You know, I say friendship, they're worthless. Take the money and run.
Right.
All right. So again, 888-696-1003. You can call us while we're on the air or email Danny. What is it again, Danny?
It is Danny at thesoundla.com. That's D-A-N-N-Y at thesoundla.com.